Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's up, Rams fans? Welcome back to Rams Showcase. Tonight, Jalen Ramsey. His number has changed, but his recruiting tactics remain the same. Plus, Kevin Demoff breaks silence over uniform release. And later, Rams head coach Sean McVay has had it with you reporters. Next on Rams Showcase.
Welcome to Rams Showcase on Sports War Radio.
What's going on, Rams fans? Welcome back to Rams Showcase right here on Sports War Radio. I am your host, Joe Brandon, but you can and should call me Sheriff Joe Bags. I am laying down the law for you guys tonight. Cool stuff to get into. As per usual, we got Michael Brockers saying some things out here again. We got Jalen Ramsey again. Jalen Ramsey, Michael Brockers, is always saying things that we apparently talk about here. And then we got some good stuff from Rams COO Kevin Demoff, as well as head coach Sean McVay, that we will get into. And then we got fan cases on the other end here, so we're looking good tonight, guys. Who said that June NFL podcast didn't have anything to talk about? Was that this guy? Because that guy's a liar. He lied all to your faces. Let's go ahead and talk about this, though, because, first of all, I just need a little bit of a disclaimer. There is a fly in my apartment right now, and my roommate, Carl, if he decides to jump... That's my cat. That's important information. Because if he comes bolting in here knocking something down, we're just going to power on through, all right? We are not going to address it at all. We're going to pretend like it's not happening, but there is a fly, and that might be something that happens, all right? But we got so many cool things happening right now, and I mean, not all of it is the best. I will say that much, but a lot of cool stuff is going on right now in uniform stuff. That's like the most exciting thing, in my opinion, that we have going on right now. We will talk about that, some of the comments that Kevin Demoff have said. I talked about this last week, basically saying last week that we had nothing new on the rumors, that it was just basically we had no idea what was going on. I did, however, just like many of you guys, I'm sure this week, found out some really interesting things about the uniform release and some rules that I actually was unaware of. But we'll talk about that here in a little bit. First, I want to start with this, because this has kind of come full circle now. And former Rams defensive tackle Michael Brockers, he talks to TMZ again. We know the first time that Michael Brockers talked to TMZ got himself into a little bit of trouble, because he was talking about how Matthew Stafford was like a clear upgrade over Jared Goff, and then gets traded to the Detroit Lions to play again with Jared Goff. So that was a thing. That was a little fun thing, actually, because the second he made those comments, I made the comments right here on Rams Showcase. What if he goes to Detroit and then he has to like confront him again? Either way, Michael Brockers comes out again and is getting asked some questions about the Lions playing the Rams on October 24th this season. And I do believe, actually, that his comments are being taken just a little bit out of context. And he basically came out, the question was, we'll listen to it, but the question was basically like, are you circling a win there? And he's like, oh yeah. And then Rams fans got offended by that. And I'm not here to attack Rams fans, that's for sure. But I will say that was a pretty soft response to Michael Brocker saying that his team is going to beat his former team. Can you imagine the uproar that would have happened if the guy asked him, so do you think you're going to beat the Rams? He's like, oh no. What? That would have gone so bad for him. Of course he's got to say yes. He plays for the Lions. He knows he's not winning that many games this year, but you have to say yes. That's just kind of what happens, all right? So Michael Brockers talks to TMZ. We'll put it up here for you guys. I've got the audio. It's only a minute and a half long. I'm not going to show the video of it because I don't want to get into any weird rules or whatever, but I will play the audio for you guys. And this is Michael Brockers on TMZ getting asked questions about playing against his former team, the LA Rams.
I love you and Goff together.
Yeah.
You know? And you guys worked it out and all that.
Yes, sir.
But October 24th, you're coming back, okay?
Yeah.
It's a big matchup, okay, with the Rams.
Yeah.
Are you coming for anybody?
Shit, just coming to take care of business, bro. You know how I do. All I want to do is win, so that's my only goal.
And then you got a W circled on your calendar that day?
Oh, definitely. Come on, man.
hey, what's that? One last thing. What's that? When you had that combo with Goff, right? What did he say? How did it go?
It went over easy, bro. I mean, we didn't really talk about it, bro. That's my brother, so I mean,
he was. You know. It's what you're supposed to do. You guys.
Yeah,
were just,
I mean,
it's like WWF. Like I'm coming for whoever, right?
Right. It's whatever. You know, for him, and for us. You know what I'm saying? We knew what it was. You know how the media is.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we know. You know what was said. What was said. But we can get over that. We professionals. We'll move on. I'm the win.
Are we good?
Oh, we good. You know, say, I know what it is, bro. I knew what I said when I walked in the airport. I was like, ah, shit. Yeah, I didn't say some shit, but it is. I'm a professional. I can take it. You know what I mean?
Hey, are you coming for a sack on Stafford?
I got to. I got to get at least one. I'm trying to sack every quarterback, but I, you know, got to get that one.
Hey, God bless you, bro.
Appreciate it, bro.
Thank you.
So that was Michael Brockers talking with TMZ, and he, like I said, guys, he basically makes these comments and he says, like, of course I'm going to get, like, of course we're going to win that game, whatever. That's what you're supposed to say. That's playing the game of being in the part of the NFL and being asked questions by the media, not only just the media, but TMZ, who tries to trap people into saying obnoxious things. And then, you know, of course, at the end, he's like, are you trying to get Stafford? Yeah, like what? What kind of question is that? First of all, awful interviewing, because you're setting him up for questions that you know that no matter what that answer is, one aspect of this, somebody's going to be like, hey, what the heck, man? Like, no matter what he says. So if he comes out and says, you think you're going to beat the Rams? And he says, yeah, absolutely. Then Rams fans are like, huh, what? And then if he would have said, no, man, we ain't going to beat the Rams, then Lions fans would be like, huh, what? Dan Campbell's going to be biting off his kneecaps, and then it's a whole disaster. And then at the very end, he's like, oh, you want to sack Stafford? Like, what if he's like, no, actually, I really respect Stafford. I'd like to keep his jersey clean that day. What would you do with that information? Or if he, you know, I don't, either way. Yeah, there was no winning in those. That's why they're awful interview questions. I don't know who that gentleman was asking those questions. Awful interviewer, but that's also what you get with TMZ, is just questions to set people up in situations, whatever. So basically, all this is about here is the overreaction of these comments, because as you guys just heard, I don't think that there was anything out of line that Michael Brockers said. He did address that him and Jared Goff were both professionals. They just moved on from it. I fully believe that that's real. I feel like Jared Goff probably joked it off and probably just, you know, kind of was like, hey, what the heck, man? And then, you know, Brockers probably, he probably said to Jared what he said to the media, which was like, hey, man, I have to say that. I'm trying to get fans excited. I'm trying to get fans excited. That's what he said to us. So, I mean, take it for what you will, I guess. Because I know there's still going to be some fans out there that are like, nah, man, screw Brockers. He said they were going to beat the Rams. But, you know, it's what you have to say in that situation. Let's move on to Rams cornerback Jalen Ramsey. He does officially change his number to 5. So we've seen the spellings of it, replacing the letter S in Ramsey with a 5. So Ram 5EY, and Jalen Ramsey changing his number to 5. I think that's pretty cool, actually. And you know what? Because I know at first when this number rule came out, I was pretty, like, immediately on the Tom Brady side of things. I was like, this is terrible. I don't like this. I'm not a fan of this. Like, wide receivers should be 80s. I didn't even like the teens when that was the thing. Like, 80s for wide receivers. Like, linebackers should be 50. Like, all that. I was pretty in that. And then, like, I started seeing them a little bit more. Jordan Fuller changing to number 4. We got Darius Williams in 11. Now Jalen Ramsey in number 5. The only starting secondary person out of, like, the 4, at least, in the base package would be Terrell Burgess, who I believe is scheduled to be a starter. It might be Rapp, but those are both in the 20s, 24 for Rapp and then 26 for Burgess. So all the other ones are wild. We got Jalen Ramsey in number 5, 5 and 11 on the outside. I think that'll be really interesting to see at the quarterback spots, and then a safety being number 4, Jordan Fuller. So that's pretty cool stuff there. And the reason we're talking about this again is because last week when we had talked about it, it was not official. He had not officially changed his number to 5. It is, however, official now. Last week was not. Rams running back Cam Akers also, by the way, did not change his number to number 3. He will remain in number 23 for at least one season. A fan on Twitter did tweet something to him, and his response was, next year for sure. So it looks like we'll wait one more year to see Cam Akers in the number 3 jersey for the LA Rams, who I would say... maybe give me your guys' number 3s, your favorite number 3s that we've seen. I would say Josh Brown is one that really sticks out in my brain. I don't know. I haven't looked at that one. I usually can tell you most, or at least a little chunk, a handful of names who have worn each number for the Rams, except for 7. There's only been one in Rams history. But with Cam Akers, it sounds to me like he probably didn't want to do the buyout for the jerseys. I don't know how much it was for him. But it's very possible that that's what it was. So Cam Akers will be rocking number 23, not 3, this season. No word on a number 4 safety, Juju Hughes. You guys might know him from having the toothpick in his mouth all the time, which, by the way, makes me nervous. I'll be honest with you guys. It makes me nervous seeing a football player flying around out there with a toothpick in his mouth. Because I'll tell you guys this story. I was at the skating rink when I was in like middle school, and I had a straw in my mouth because that's what people did. I don't know if that's I'll be 30 next month. I don't know if anybody else is in this range where you should just have a straw in your mouth. I don't know. I thought I was cool. I was trying to fit in, whatever. I wasn't cool. I still am not that cool, but it's fine. But that what happened then was I had the straw in my mouth. I was at the skate rink. I was in middle school, so leave me alone. And there was a fight going on. And obviously, what do humans do when there's a fight going on? They flock and they watch. All right, flock and watch. It's a fight. So that's what I did, and somebody got pushed into me, into my face, straw jammed into the back of my throat, cut the back of my throat. It was the worst day of my life. So it makes me nervous to see him out there with the toothpick, but he is currently listed as number 23 at safety. So I have yet to hear a number change for Juju Hughes at the safety spot, but there is only one open number in the 20s for the Rams right now, and that is number 20, recently vacated by Jalen Ramsey. Let's get back to Jalen Ramsey, because I'm not done talking about this number change right now, okay? So he is going to be number 5. There have been a handful of notable names to wear the number 5. Stop me if you've heard any of these guys before. Don't stop me. You can't, because this is pre-recorded. But we've got Dieter Brock, Dale Hatcher, Donnie Jones, and Sean Landetta. Those last two, I mean, those are awesome punters that I'm sure most of us remember, pretty recent. Most recently, the number 5 has been worn by Bryce Perkins at quarterback, as well as Blake Bortles in 2019, because in 2020, he did not wear number 5. That was taken by Perkins, so he wore number 19 for the Rams. Blake Bortles did, but Jalen Ramsey is going to be rocking that. He is now officially the 11th Ram in Rams history to wear number 5. So 11th player in Rams history to wear number 5. I thought that was pretty cool. But those are I like the Donnie Jones one. That when I think of number 5 for the Rams, Donnie Jones pops right into my brain. And then Sean Landetta, that one makes sense, but Donnie Jones just triggers earlier in my brain for Donnie Jones. And then you guys might remember also Nick Foles was pretty recent as a number 5. Keep it on Jalen Ramsey as he changed his number, but he is still recruiting. That is not changing at all. He is still trying to get the Rams to sign guys. So I'm here for it. I think it's pretty cool stuff, actually. But he did not convince Les Make-A-Deal Snead to get Julio Jones. More on that in a second, by the way, on the Rams trying to make moves to get Julio Jones. But Ramsey is now, he's now recruiting Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore, who is not at camp and is very openly about to be traded. All right. He's been almost about to be traded for about 2 years now, and it looks like that's just really close now. And so Stephon Gilmore, in the messages, it was another thing posted up on Jalen Ramsey's Instagram on his story that he was mentioning Mookie Betts for the Dodgers. He gets traded to LA and then they win a championship. So I don't know a whole lot about baseball. I don't follow baseball very closely. I like am technically a Rockies fan, but they hate happiness, so it's hard to follow them. And also baseball, I don't want to say it's like too boring or anything like that, because it's not. I like, first of all, I mean, a human being able to throw a football, or not a football, well, I mean, yeah, they can throw footballs amazing too, but a human being able to launch that baseball in this like little tiny window, like he's trying to hit this little spot, and that sucker's going like 102 miles an hour, that's absolutely impressive. And what's more impressive to me is people being able to hit that sucker out of the park. That's incredible. I can't even understand how you make that decision and then hit swing and then know where you're swinging and then direct it. It's all bananas to me. Either way, I think that it's not violent enough for me, because I love football and I love hockey. Those are my two sports. I'm super sad about the Avalanche. You can mock me if you will. That's fine. Dropping four straight to the Knights, for real, come on now. But anyway, that's beside the point. But he did reference Betts coming over. Betts, by the way, super dope. I don't know, like I just said, I don't follow baseball super closely. I know that Betts is awesome, all right, and that he's just an athlete, not just a very good baseball player. Dude is an athlete, so that's really cool stuff. But the kind of thing that kind of popped into my head that, like, okay, what could the Rams do with Gilmore that would be more than just adding Gilmore to the defense, because we already got Darius Williams. I like our depth at corner. I like Robert Rochelle. I like David Long Jr. We've got guys there that I think that we will be fine in that spot, even losing somebody like Troy Hill. So I was thinking, what could he bring that would be kind of outside of that? And the only thing that my brain could come up with was that Super Bowl 53, where maybe, just maybe, Gilmore would have something to give McVay of, you were doing this, so we did this, and that's what slowed you down. If like, or something along those lines of like, if you guys just would have done this, we had no plan for that, or something. I have no idea. But I do know that it's very, very typical for a player to go to a different team, and then when they play that old team, they say some stuff, but there's also players that are like, nah, nothing I say is going to help them at all. They've got all the film. Like, they know what they're looking at. We've seen that plenty of times, too, but that's kind of just where my brain went with it. It's possible. I had just mentioned the possible Julio Jones, because Jalen Ramsey was recruiting Julio Jones. He was trying to get Snead to make the move. What we found out, though, what was reported was that the Rams almost traded Robert Woods to free up the space to get Julio Jones. We had talked about it here, talking about how the Rams really didn't have a need at wide receiver with Woods, Kupp, Jackson, Jefferson, Atwell. We just didn't. It's just not necessarily a need, and we had talked about that, and that's why I was kind of like, well, yeah, like Julio would be dope because that guy's amazing, but do we need him? And that would have actually created the need. That would have shifted it around. You send out Robert Woods, which reportedly the Rams were looking for a third round pick for Robert Woods, and then bring in Julio Jones. We of course know that that did not happen. Robert Woods is still a Ram number two, and Julio Jones is now a Tennessee Titan playing with Josh Reynolds out there and Mike Vrabel, who I remember watching and it was awesome. I liked him as a player. But yeah, Woods almost got shipped off. And I'm not sure what the snag was on this. I'm not sure what happened where it halted this from moving, because I'm guessing that if you trade Woods for a three, you send that three to Atlanta along with probably something else. I feel like the Rams easily could have sent a two and a three for Julio Jones, and I feel like that would have been accepted. I like Robert Woods too, though, so I'm okay with this not happening. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm totally okay with this one not happening. But Julio Jones, that's a hell of a player, man. So that would have been exciting too, but it's all good, because Bobby Trees is not about to let us down. All right, he's rocking number two again. He's not about to let us down. Bobby Trees is going to do an awesome job in the 2021 season. Let's get moving here. Let's talk about uniforms. All right, Rams COO Kevin Demoff has finally spoken about the uniforms. He's finally given us some nuggets to talk about. He was featured on the 11 Personnel podcast and was asked very blatantly about the uniforms. So, turns out the window that we're looking at for the new release of the alternate uniform is going to be post July 1st, but also pre-training camp. That is the goal. All right, that is the goal. He did not say it's for sure going to happen in that window. It could be after that that training camp window, because the Rams start training camp on July 25th. So we're looking anywhere from like the 22nd or the 2nd to the 24th is kind of what we're looking at for the release there. I'm a little curious because media day has already happened. So will they go back for media day to do this? I think he didn't know. So I'm following his comments. We can wear them 2 or 3 times. I think it's 2, though, that we would be able to wear the alternate jerseys. But there's a rule that actually Kevin Demoff was talking about that I was unaware of. I try to learn the rules, but there's so many of them, and they're very specific. But we know the rule now because Demoff told us that there's a rule that only allows alternate jersey releases to be available for sale after July 1st, and that's why they don't want to release them and then have people not be able to buy them. So there's a lot of moving parts in this. The pandemic, coming out of the pandemic, like what we're doing, that's played a factor. Also, some of the new rules this season, as far as the number change, that actually had an impact on this as well. Talking about how, you know, guys like Jalen Ramsey, how they just changed their number. So now we need to tell the manufacturers, hey, all those Jalen Ramsey number 20 jerseys, they're trash now. Can we get 5s? That's a real thing. But I think Jalen paid about, I want to say the number was $619,000 that he paid for that. $619,000 just to change his number to 5. That's not even the number he wanted. He wanted number 2 that Robert Woods took. But it looks like after July 1st, he did also mention that there are a couple teams waiting to release alternates until after July 1st because of this rule. I don't know how many teams are out there trying to release alternates, but it does seem like at least a couple. And these are alternates. These are not brand new jerseys, like a whole new jersey set, which is definitely causing some confusion, because I've seen there's some articles out there by certain Rams publications that are saying that it was an entirely new uniform set. That was not expected at all this entire time. This entire time, we have been just expecting an additional alternate jersey this season. Our blue with the gradient numbers and then the bone gray, that is here to stay, at least for the time being. I don't know how long we'll have it, but I'm sure for a while, but we're adding an alternate this year, and then we're also scheduled to add an alternate next year, so we will also probably wait to see that one after July 1st in 2022 as well. So we'll see what happens as far as the release goes, but I'm fully anticipating an announcement of an announcement like the Rams typically do. So we'll, of course, keep you guys up to date on that. I will make sure that I post that announcement on the Rams Showcase social media pages. So make sure you guys are following there, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So also, like I said, the pandemic impacted the factories as far as like shipping goes and the manufacturing itself. Just being delays because of certain restrictions in different areas. So the rumors I spoke of last week were real. The rumors of the Rams, they were going to drop the new uniform at the open practice that happened on Thursday. I think that was the 10th. That was actually real. That was the original plan, was to release them there. But the rules that we had just talked about, not being able to sell them until after the 1st of July, and then, of course, issues with pandemic number changes and stuff like that, that is actually why they did not do that. So I know that I had mentioned that we had no confirmation on that and that we didn't know. We had, like, it wasn't going to be a surprise. The Rams love to announce announcements. The Rams will come out and say, hey, in 5 days we'll get a new uniform, or 1 week from today we get our new uniform. But there's also like potential leaks and stuff like that. But yeah, but we will get an announcement of an announcement. By the way, if you guys, fingers crossed, we don't get leaks, because I hate that. I hate finding out new information or seeing something for the first time, just like crappily, like scrolling through my Facebook page or something like that. And I just like kind of run across it. I'm like, oh, I don't know if that's real or not. And just like keep scrolling, and then it is real. That's the worst way to learn about anything, is doing it that way. So first of all, if you are part of any leaks, shame on you. All right, I got real Rich Eisen vibes when it comes to leaks and stuff. Like how like Rich Eisen gets all super mad at everybody during the draft when they tweet the picks before they're announced. Yeah, I feel that same way. I'm on Rich's side here. All right, and I hate the leaks. I want to see the official announcement. It's so much cooler when you see what the team prepares and what they give us. It's just better. All right. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and hit my break. On the other side, we will talk about Sean McVay just being, he's added up to here with you reporters out there. Okay. And then we also got our fan queso, so don't go anywhere. And welcome back in, Rams fans. So Rams head coach Sean McVay, he is not messing around with you reporters anymore, all right? He has had it up to here with you guys. And maybe me, I don't know. I don't think I said anything about his comments about what he said about Stafford and being in a good mood and stuff like that. But also, I just want to throw this out there because I saw a couple videos that came out after Sean McVay's press conference, which we will listen to the first bit of. So everybody knows what happened here and what Sean McVay said. If you guys haven't seen it, I watch all the press conferences, and it kind of like, it started and I was like, oh, like, oh man. Okay. But I also, then I saw some follow-up, some clips from different channels and stuff like that. Mike Florio, I never really had an issue with Mike Florio. I guess I still don't. I don't know him personally. I'm sure he's fine. But when did he become so opinionated? When did he just like have this super attitude that he knows all the right ways to do everything and everything that he does is right? And if he disagrees with you, no, you did it wrong. That was the wrong way to handle that, Sean. I think that's ridiculous. But he's been super opinionated lately. I don't know if I missed something, but I remember like watching him in Sims on PFT or whatever, and he's always just been kind of like a cool dude or whatever. And now he's just like, he's super whiny lately. I don't know why he's whiny lately, but he did not like Sean McVay's comments about the media. I mean, and I see both sides of it. I see what Sean McVay's saying. He's like, first of all, I did not attack Jared Goff. I didn't say anything about Jared Goff. And then the media is like, but yeah, I mean, you kind of meant that though. Like, you kind of meant that to Jared Goff. Like, not necessarily directly about Jared Goff, but saying that, like, you're blatantly in a better mood this season over last season. I'm sure there's a lot of things going on that are different and that are awesome. But that's a big one. That's a big story, is changing your quarterback, all right? And it's, like, the one big change you did this season, except for letting some other guys sign other places. That's your one change, and you got a new defensive coordinator. So when you're saying, damn right I'm in a better mood, what are we supposed to think, Sean? All right. But also, the media blew that up as well. They kind of were like, oh, he hates Jared. Like, it's like, okay, first of all, we knew he hated Jared. Like, that's, I don't want to say he hated Jared, but like, we knew that there was some tension growing there. We knew that. All right. But Sean McVay says his comments were not about Jared Goff. I think clearly they were in some kind of like sideways way. They weren't necessarily directed at Jared Goff, but Jared Goff was like an awkward third party beneficiary of these comments in a weird way. So yeah, it was about Jared in a sense, but I believe that McVay is sick about being asked about Jared Goff, and he's trying to put the story to bed. So when he's asked about, like, are you excited this year? People are saying you're in a better mood this year. Like, him saying, yeah, I'm in a better mood this year, that's not necessarily an attack on Jared. It's pumping up Matthew Stafford. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with being excited for your quarterback, being excited about your team. What is he supposed to say there? I'll go back to my Brockers comments just a little bit earlier. What is he supposed to say there? Like, oh, people have said you're in a better mood this year. And he's like, oh, actually, no, I'm not really excited. Like, this is going to be rough. Like, what? What are you supposed to do with that? So, yeah, he's going to say he's excited. But, you know, also on the other side of this, Jared Goff, he was on Rich Eisen, and he was pretty clear about trying to avoid the conversation about the Rams. And I have no issues with that. All right. So he was asked, like, did you know this was coming? And he said, no, I had no inclination at all that I was about to get traded. I didn't get a call. He said he was surprised. And that was not the part of the conversation that he wanted to carry on. He wanted to talk about being in Detroit, playing for Dan Campbell, that he feels really good about those coaches, that maybe their personalities are fitting in just a little bit better. So he was more adamant about talking about that in the future than what happened with the Rams. And Sean McVay is doing the same exact thing. He's more inclined to talk about what's going on with Matthew Stafford, his progression, what he sees from Stafford throughout, you know, these OTAs and the mini camps that we're seeing right now. And he's not wanting to go back and talk about Jared anymore. That's over. It's done now. All right. JG16 is gone now, and he's now in Detroit. We don't have to worry about it anymore. But Goff was very clear about talking about his future, not his time with the Rams. And clearly there was tension between the two near the end there. I don't think anybody can dispute that at all. But they are both adults. They are both grown-ups in the room, as Colin Cowherd would say. They're both grown-ups. Neither of them is going to sit there and be like, yeah, you know what, man? I didn't really like that guy, especially near the end there. That guy was being a jerk. He's not Marcus Peters out here talking about the past 2 years down the road. Neither of these guys are that kind of personality. They're just going to let it go and move on. Can we just talk about 2021, no longer 2020? So that's what's been happening right now. And I wanted to play Sean McVay's initial comments because I thought it was really cool that Sean McVay came out and he was very adamant about the media twisting his words a little bit. So let's go ahead and listen in.
All right. First of all, wanted to start off, you know, I hate that I even have to say this, but I think I made a comment earlier that was definitely taken out of context. I am very excited. I have been in a good mood because of the confidence I have in this team, but by no means is that a slight to anybody, you know, like Jared, who has done a phenomenal job for the last 4 years here. You know, I hated that I even have to address that, but I do think out of respect for him and all the good things he's done, I am in a good mood, but that doesn't mean it's not because we're working together or because of just Stafford exclusively. There's a lot of good things going on that I feel really good about and I'm confident about. So don't twist my words when I didn't say that. All right. Thank you. That being said, I am in a good mood still and excited.
Yeah.
About-
so there's Sean McVay talking about the media twisting his words, which is absolutely what happened. I can't deny that at all. The media was absolutely twisting his words, basically saying that Sean McVay said that he was in a better mood because Jared Goff's gone. That is not what was said. That was not what was said at all. And Sean McVay, he has a way of speaking. We've gotten accustomed to it since 2017. Us as Rams fans, at first it was like, wow, this guy is like, I mean, this guy, he communicates well, and he does. I'm not going to turn that and be like, oh, it turns out he just says the same thing every time. He says similar things, but he does give us information. He is a little bit more of the, like, a secretive guy, a little bit. He doesn't like to give up a lot. And he does have his go-tos, his little coach speak, if you will, his little Sean McVay-isms of the above the neck and all that stuff. So every time he says above the neck, by the way, you have to take a shot. No matter what you're doing, it doesn't matter if you're at work or not, you have to take a shot every time Sean McVay says above the neck. But I think it's time for us to also be able to put that all to bed and put those comments and put everything for like what Jared Goff and Sean McVay, what their conversations were and all that stuff, and what that ended as. I think it's time now that we can actually put that all to bed, and I think that that'll be okay. I think that we'll survive. I think that we are good now to finally say that it's now the Matthew Stafford era in Los Angeles, and I think we should go ahead and move forward with that. Let's talk about fan quesos. All right, fan queso time. We got a bunch from Cody. Cody loaded us up, which is appreciated for sure. I've got a couple others here. Let me check the screenshots real fast. I don't want to miss any here. All right, so we'll go ahead and start with John. John says, outside of quarterback, what position group has the least depth and or can least afford injuries? That's a solid question because, you know, there's a lot of spots on this team right now that feel like they don't have a lot of depth. And one of those is the offensive line. I wouldn't say offensive line. I'll say cornerback. If the Rams at cornerback suffer some injuries, that could be a problem. And, you know, if Jalen and Darius went out, I mean, we're looking tough there at corner. I like the guys that we have, but the inexperience is what would worry me there. So definitely the cornerback spot. Linebacker seems to have a lot of depth, but no like high end talent, but I like the depth there. Quarterback is that position. It's the position. Cause like, obviously we all love the Wolf, Awu, you know, number 13, John Wolford. But at the same time, I mean, we saw him play in week 17 against the Cardinals, a game that the Rams wanted to win. And, you know, we're trying to win. It's not like they had nothing to play for at all. But going into that game, It's not that Wolford did a bad job at all, but he also didn't have a touchdown pass, and he had like, what, 174 passing, something like that? So it's not like he played amazing, and I'm not here to take shots at the Wolf. That's definitely not the case here. I like the Wolf, but let's not pretend like he's like the second coming of anything, because he did start and he only looked okay, and then he got hurt in the first quarter of his next game. I'm not saying that he's not good, or that's he's going to do a terrible job if he has to play, or we're screwed if he has to play or anything like that. But that was a little bit okay, he's not the guy. He's a guy, not the guy. I would say cornerback for sure is a tough one, because I like our depth at some of the other spots. You know, I like our depth at tight end. I like our wide receivers. We have sweet punters too, even right now. We got some sick punter depth. Rams have the deepest punter group in the NFL right now, for sure. And then also, John, I had already mentioned this to you. You did have another question here, but I'm actually going to translate that into a segment. It won't be on this episode, of course. We're almost done here. Well, we're in Fan Quesos now, but we will address that. For those of you curious, this will be appearing on next week. For each position group, compare last season to the coming season and predict if there will be improvement, no change, or regression, which I loved that question. So I want to make that into a little bit bigger of a one coming up. We'll do that next week. This next one here, this was from YouTube, from King Digital HD. Do you see anyone below Tutu Atwell on the depth chart next season, or being below Tutu Atwell? I mean, possibly. It's very real that Tutu can kind of make a pretty big impact and maybe unseat somebody. I don't know if the Rams keep six on the wide receiver group going into the season. I don't know who the six would be. I would guess it would probably be somebody like Simba. It seems like the Rams like Simba, so I wouldn't be overly shocked to see him stick around there. But as far as Tutu, I think that he won't get that much playing time this year. Similar to like Van Jefferson, how they're talking him up, they're saying how awesome he is, but then he also just doesn't see the field that much. Tutu does kind of seem like he is the Sean McVay wide receiver. Like if Sean McVay could build a wide receiver, it seems like it would be a guy like Tutu. So I think that helps him, but also the Rams are super deep at that spot. And it's not like if like DeSean Jackson is, if DeSean Jackson I think that he's going to get playing time is really what I'm trying to say there. So DeSean Jackson, I mean, obviously he's a little bit older than Tutu, but they're very similar in their playing styles. So I think that DeSean Jackson will get the playing time ahead of Tutu throughout the season. But if something were to happen to DeSean Jackson, then I think Tutu would kind of fill in that role. But as far as the depth chart goes, I don't know if it really matters that much for the Rams at wide receiver, because I mean, like Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp are very similar. DeSean Jackson and Tutu Atwell are very similar. And then for just last year, Van Jefferson and Josh Reynolds were very similar. But now it's like Van Jefferson is kind of like the big guy, it seems like. So we'll see how he's deployed this year. I think he'll have a bigger role. But as far as the depth chart goes, I think it's pretty rotational. So I think that's what we'll see. Let's see here. We'll start with Cody, and then we'll go to Philip, and then back to Cody to round it out here. So, Cody's question: Sean McVay and Jared Goff walk into a bar. What happens next? I'll be honest with you, man. I don't think they talk to each other. I think it's one of these dudes know this. I don't know if it's a woman thing or not, but guys know that like you see like a dude that you don't really like, but you like you're not gonna make a scene. Like whatever you're doing, it's like okay, this is not what's gonna happen. Nothing's gonna happen. We're not gonna yell at each other. You just kind of look and go. You know, like I'm not the only one, right? Like it's like you see somebody that you don't really like that comes into a place that you're at. It's the downward nod. The upward one is like, hey, what's up, man? The downward is like, I recognize your existence. That's like, I don't know if anybody feels that same way. Anyway, next one here from Philip. What are you hoping to see on the new uniform next year? By that, I mean, are you hoping for a yellow version, white, blue, the combo, etc.? I'm looking forward to a yellow. I really want to see a yellow, and if we get a yellow, I'm going to buy a couple. I got to get a custom Sheriff Joe Bags number 9, and then I will be getting a Matthew Stafford jersey. I've still got my money set aside for my Stafford, whatever the new style is. I don't care. I'm getting it in a Stafford because it's the new era. We're in the Stafford era, the Stafford McVay era of the LA Rams. And so I'm here for it. You know what I mean? And I feel really good about Stafford doing some really cool things for the Rams this season. So I'm on board all the way. But yeah, I'm hoping for a yellow. I love the yellow. And if we could see a yellow jersey on bone pants, I am here for it. Oh man, I'm down for that for sure. Cause the bone, that's my favorite. I love that one. That is so cool. I love the bone color. I've got a couple of bone color t-shirts. I've got the jersey up here. I got a Morgan Fox jersey who's no longer with us. that's how I'll say that. But I really hope it's a yellow. There's been rumors floating around of different things, like a gradient yellow to blue. I don't know if that's going to happen because of the way that the gradient numbers were received. The Rams do listen to fans. So, yeah, we'll see. But my hope is for a yellow. Because yellow's, I'll be honest with you guys, yellow's my favorite color. I love the yellow. And anything I can get with yellow, I'm down. I just got this hat. Yeah. All right. Next one here from Cody. By the way, Cody, I read your first one. I did not read any of these other ones. So I'm coming in completely fresh. Have not seen any of these. So hopefully they're not crazy. All right. Let's see. Any chance Sean McVay suits up as quarterback one if the staff goes down? All right. We start strong start. All right. dude, you know how cool that would be to see Sean McVay out there at quarterback? I think he could do it. I mean, he's athletic enough. But also, I think the Wolf is probably a better quarterback. Otherwise, Sean McVay would probably be playing and not coaching. I wonder what would have happened if Sean McVay would have just kept playing. Alternate universes. Next one here from Cody. Are you worried about the defensive line next to Donald with all the departures? Actually, no, I'm not. I like our guys on the defensive line. I like Bobby Brown coming in. Turns out him and Robert Rochelle are becoming like best buds. I think that's awesome. And then you also got, you know, like Sebastian Joseph Day, who I think is absolutely ready to start. And then you've got like some of the other guys that we haven't really seen a whole lot of, but the coaching staff's been really high on, not just this offseason or anything like that, but for a little bit now. We've heard about them over the last year or so, like guys like Michael Hoecht and God, I'm blanking on everybody right now. But I mean, even if we just stick with those four, if you got, I mean, Donald Brown, Hoecht, and then A'shaun Robinson, Sebastian Joseph Day, I like our defensive line. I have no issues with our defensive line, and I don't think that losing a guy like Brockers, that sucks. Brockers is a good player, but I don't think that kills us. Morgan Fox is a good player, but I don't think that kills us. I think we've got replacements for the guys that we did lose. Next one here is stopping the run. You think it will still be a weakness for us this year? You know, we'll see. I think that with Brandon Staley, I think he was very pass defense heavy, if that makes any sense. Raheem Morris, I'm anticipating that we'll see basically the same defense, but with some more, I guess, creativity. I don't know if Brandon Staley was necessarily, he's a very good defensive coach. He's very good at calling plays. He's very good at his alignments and making sure that like putting people in these spots is going to disrupt this play. You know, he's very good at that. But Raheem Morris, I think, will get a little bit more creative with it. So I'm excited to see what Morris does with this defense. And I think as long as we have guys like Aaron Donald who are extremely aggressive, we're going to give up some big runs. That's just going to happen. Every once in a while, we're going to give up a big run. Somebody's going to use Donald's momentum against him, and the run's going to be going to the other side or something like that. But like Kaiser's really good against the run. Kenny Young, I think, is improving. He was getting better over the course of the season against the run. Troy Reader, I like against the run. So, you know, and it's all just one more season under these guys' belts. You know, the players that we saw last year, those are not the same exact players that we're seeing this year. People can get better. It's a real thing that happens. I don't know if you guys remember being at your job, not being very good at it, but then over time you get more used to it. Maybe you learn some more techniques, some more skills, and it gets a little bit easier. You get a little bit better, and that can happen in football too. Weird, right? Coaching and stuff like that. It's wild. Anyway, I think that the Rams will do fine there, man. This defense is absolutely bananas. All right, and honestly though, like, and I'll tie this in with the Stafford deal as well, because from what I saw, I did not confirm this. You guys can feel free to tell me if I'm wrong here. From what I saw, the Lions were giving up like upper 30s in points last year.
And you guys are going to still blame Matthew Stafford for not winning games out in Detroit when he's got to put up 45 to get some dubs? For real? If he puts up 28 for the Rams, if he can get to 24, 28, 31 in that pocket for the Rams, we're winning 11 or 12 games, especially with this defense. Probably, maybe even more if we can put up 31 a game, which would be, I mean, that would be impressive. But if the Rams can put up, we'll say 24 a game, I think the Rams can win 11, 12 games with this defense. And that's what Matthew Stafford needs to do. He no longer needs to hit 42 to pull out some dubs. 24 now, all right? So, yeah, I think we'll be all right. And that ties into also we have more of a gunslinger now. And so I think that the Rams will be able to put up more points than they did last year, which will force teams into trying to match us instead of just trying to wear us out. They'll be trying to match our score, hopefully, again, like it was in 2018, where like teams were having to pass on us because we were just rocking it, man. We were just scoring tutties all day. So they had to try to keep up with us. But yeah. All right. Next one here from Cody. How good do you think our offensive line can be? Who are we looking at right guard with Corbett moving to center? Yeah, it looks like, I mean, nothing's official. Of course, we don't know who's going to win those jobs. It looks like Corbett is pretty strong in that spot, possibly. I like Shelton. I think Brian Allen's probably a cut if I had to guess, but I think it'll be Corbett followed by Shelton at the center spot. But also both of those guys have some versatility, can play any of the interior spots there. I would say if you're looking at the Rams offensive line, my guess for what the Rams offensive line will look like from left to right, I'm going to go ahead and guess that it's going to be Andrew Whitworth, Joseph Noteboom, Austin Corbett, Bobby Evans, Rob Havenstein. That's from left to right, what Matthew Stafford's going to be seeing. That's going to be my guess as of today. Of course, we'll look at preseason. By the way, I'm going to two of those. I'm going to two preseason games. Only one's in Colorado. I wasn't supposed to say that, but I'm doing it anyway. Anyway, that's what I'm looking for in the preseason games, though, is possibly how these guys are doing, some of the depth guys are doing, because we know like Whitworth's not going to play. Havenstein's probably not going to play. Stafford's not going to play, because why would you put him back there behind a bunch of guys that aren't ready? You know what I mean? But like Tremaine Ankrum is good depth there as well. I don't know. I'm excited to see these guys out there, especially in the preseason. We didn't get one last year, so I'm pumped for it. But that would be my guess, would be Whitworth, Noteboom, Corbett, Evans, Havenstein. That's going to be my guess today. We'll see after preseason happens. Next one here is, how do you feel about Les Snead lately, and who do you think holds the power? I feel like Snead could be more of a puppet now with McVay making a lot of the big decisions. And why do you feel like we retained him after Jeff Fisher firing originally? I feel like this question is an attack on Les Snead, and I'm not here for that. All right. I don't know if that's true or not. But no, man, I like Snead a lot. I think Snead does an incredible job. And he also understands the lack of value in draft picks because they're not that valuable. All right. They're not nearly as valuable as people are that they get credit for, I guess. And people tend to overvalue them, especially as we get closer to the draft. So like trading a second round pick today is not a big deal. But trading a second round pick, you know, in March, that's like, whoa, they got a second, you know, it's like a big deal. So I think that Les Snead does a very good job of understanding the lack of value that are held in draft picks and just a coin toss. That's all you're doing when you're drafting somebody is a coin toss. If you can get rid of, I mean, if you look at what the Titans gave up for Julio Jones, yeah, they won. I mean, they did a good job. Like, that's fine. Like, that's, you get rid of a couple of coin tosses for a guy that you know is going to do a good job for your team this season. Yeah, you do that. All right. Yeah, I don't understand. But as far as your comment about him being a puppet for McVay, I don't think that's the case at all. I think that they are very, I think that they work well together. And I think that that's exactly why he was retained when Jeff Fisher was fired, because when Jeff Fisher was here, Jeff Fisher did have all the power. So when just Jeff Fisher was fired, I feel like Les was kind of like, hey, I wasn't making those decisions, guys. I wasn't doing any of that. I can do this. And then he stayed. Bring in Sean McVay. They just seem to fit in a little bit better together. So I think that that was a big part of it. But also, I think Les Snead understands that Sean McVay is a very good coach, and he knows what he wants in his football team, and that guy is the one orchestrating what happens on the field. So if that guy has somebody, he's like, hey, this guy will make our team better. Les, then Les can go, okay, let's try to make that happen then. Let's see what we can do. And then he goes and makes it happen. I don't think it's a puppeteering situation at all. I think that they work very well together, if you're asking me. Do people forget how Steven Jackson actually was? I'm confused at the timing of your question. Are people forgetting? Is Steven Jackson being talked about? Is that a thing right now? Is Steven Jackson being like, are people being like, who's that? I don't know, man. Do people forget how Steven Jackson actually... I don't think so. I have no context on this. I don't know if people are saying things or if people are saying things, what they are saying. But Steven Jackson is one of the better running backs the Rams have ever had. The Rams have had some incredible ones in their time. Of course, we know the short stint of Todd Gurley. We know Marshall Faulk. We know Eric Dickerson. I mean, Jerome Bettis is another short stint here. We've got a couple, all right? We've got some good names there, but... As far as Steven Jackson, I mean, he was on a bad team for a long time and did an amazing job. One thing that I loved about him is that it didn't matter what the score was, what our record was, what game was, anything. He was going to go out there and he was going to give it his all. Him and James Laurinaitis. We knew we had one on each side that no matter what was going on, no matter what the score was, no matter what our record was, no matter what was going on in the game, no matter who we were playing against or what they were playing for, they were going to go out there and bust their butt cheeks. And it was awesome. So I don't know if people are saying things about Steven Jackson. If they are, they need to shut it up for sure. Because Steven Jackson was dope. Why so many football fans think because Stafford didn't win in Detroit, he won't be very good in LA either? Being pretty prevalent outside of the Rams fan base. Yeah, you know, it's going to happen, but I really think like for Rams fans after week one, Sunday Night Football, SoFi Stadium against the Chicago Bears, Rams fans are going to be like, oh man, we got better at that spot. And it's going to be about week 6 or 7, I would guess, for the rest of the NFL to be like, oh yeah, they got better at that spot. That's for sure. Or like, that's when the league is going to be like, oh, Detroit was holding Stafford back. Okay, now he's got Sean McVay. Yikes, watch out, NFL. Like, guys, I really feel like that's what's going to happen. Maybe I'm overconfident. I have no idea. But I feel good about Stafford. Most disappointing Rams first round draft pick. First round draft pick, you said Sam Bradford. I will say first round draft pick, the whole just onslaught of offensive tackles that every Rams fan was like, he's the next Orlando Pace. Alex Barron, next Orlando Pace. Jason Smith, next Orlando Pace. Who else was there? Greg Robinson, next Orlando Pace. And look at him, being not the next Orlando Pace out here, that's for sure. But most disappointing, man, I would say those guys for sure. But I'll say Ty Hill. I was so jacked for Ty Hill, guys, out of Clemson. Didn't work out. Next one here from Cody. Who's the Ram you was a big fan of but actually turned out to have a pretty mediocre career, minus Tavon Austin? I mean, if I'm being completely honest with myself and you guys, Mark Barron. I don't think he ever really blossomed into the person that I think he is in my head. Tavon is up there, though, for sure. Any of the running backs... Trey Mason, Zach Stacy, I like those guys. I thought like Daryl Richardson. I went to the Rams Broncos preseason game. I don't remember the year. Probably, I don't know. Daryl Richardson was like slated to be the starter. I'm there with my face painted with my brother-in-law, who left at halftime. Jerk move, by the way. I'm over it, but still, what the heck, man? I got my face painted. I got my sign that says D Rich 26 on it. In the 500s up there, like, yeah. And then I'm there by myself for the whole second half, just like, yeah. But, yeah, I was pumped for Richardson. I thought he was going to do well. Any of those running backs, for sure. Tavon, though, he had all the potential, and he actually did have those moments where he was just super flashy and awesome. But I think for him, I think mainly for Tavon, I think it was really mental. Like, he thought he was amazing. And so I think that kind of held him back a little bit. That like already thinking you've made it mentality will hold you back. And I think that's what happened with Tavon. As far as anybody else, man, trying to think back to some drafts that I've watched where I got really excited about a guy and it just didn't pan out. But yeah, a lot of those running backs for me. Last one here from Cody. How many shots is McVay going to take at Goff? And if it's this clear and early that Stafford is a significant upgrade from Goff by McVay, do you think that is a physical thing being this early, or how fast Stafford is progressing early? What is impressing McVay so much? I think that what's impressing McVay so much is the fact that that Stafford is just I'm sure he's just more cerebral. We'll use that word because, you know, Jared Goff, we talked about this last week, that Matthew Stafford gets to be eyeballs for Sean McVay, not Sean McVay having to be the eyes and ears and everything for his quarterback like he was for Jared Goff. And that's not trying to take a shot at Jared Goff. I realize that it is, in a sense, a shot at Jared Goff. But now you get Matthew Stafford, who can come back to the sideline and say, hey, I'm seeing this. What can we do? Like, what do we have for that? Are you seeing this? This is what he did. Do you want to try this or something? I feel like Jared Goff just listened to whatever McVay said. Matthew Stafford now, he can bring stuff to Sean McVay, and Sean McVay can bounce stuff off of him. Obviously, Stafford didn't have the best coaches throughout his career. I mean, Caldwell might have been his best coach. Yikes, by the way. That's rough. But he's coming from Matt Patricia, but he's more... I mean, obviously, he's a veteran. He's more seasoned. He knows more about this league. He's seen a lot of things, you know, and players. I mean, you can see like AJ Hawk talking about it on the Pat McAfee show on McAfee and Hawk. He's talking about that, like, they knew that Stafford was a guy, like, even while they were preparing for him, like, two times a year, even like come those games coming up. It didn't matter that the Lions were not that amazing. They knew that Stafford was a guy. And players tend to, I think, have a lot more respect for Matthew Stafford than a lot of fans and some media as well. Mostly fans. Fans do not have respect for Matthew Stafford because they just, all they see is like win-loss. He was Detroit. Didn't win that much. He sucks. That's not real. So, and then you have Jared Goff on the flip side of this, which I'm going to stop answering questions about Jared Goff, I think. It's time to move on. We are now in... We're in June, so it's time now, I think, to go to the 2021 season fully. And but for Jared Goff, I mean, Sean McVay inherited Jared Goff from 7 starts under Jeff Fisher. And who was the offensive coordinator at the time? Oh, I'm trying to remember. We had a hashtag about firing him as well. Not good, though. I remember that. It was terrible. He ended up being like the tight ends coach for the Browns, I think, after he left here. But not very good. Terrible play caller. Just didn't do a very awesome job. But Jeff Fisher being the head coach, that's what Jared Goff had. Jared Goff came from 7 starts under Jeff Fisher. He went 0-7 in those starts. And then Sean McVay inherits him. And he has to be the guy. He has to be the eyes. He has to be everything for Jared Goff. Matthew Stafford comes in with experience, and I think that that relationship is just going to make a lot more sense. So I think that that's probably what those comments are coming from, is probably Matthew Stafford going up and be like, oh, what about this here? Hey, if he just did this, we could hit that there. Something like that. And Sean McVay's probably sitting there like, oh, no way. Like, he's probably getting excited about it. And that's why I'm sure he's in a good mood, because he now has a quarterback. He doesn't have to necessarily like babysit in a way. I mean, I just think it's a better situation. So that's my last Jared Goff question ever. That's it. That is it. Putting my foot down. All right. That's going to do it for me, though. Thank you guys for your fan cases. Make sure you guys drop them all down below. Next week, by the way, I'm not going to do it this week because I was not able to prepare it in time or reach out to the proper people, but I did want to mention that next week we will be having a giveaway. So what we'll be doing is I will ask you guys a question. You guys, wherever you guys listen to me, whether that's YouTube, whether it's Facebook, whether it's iTunes, whatever, you guys comment your answer to my question. I don't know if it's a trivia question yet or just a question yet. We'll figure that out. Details will be had next week. And then we'll basically be, if it's a trivia question, we'll get right answers, whatever, and then do that. But it's possible we'll just do like a drawing. So we'll tell you guys all about that next week. But we'll be doing a giveaway for Shaw's Customs. You guys saw the commercial a little bit earlier. And also my Compton Mania one, which is awesome. You guys need to check that out for sure. ComptonMania.com. I'm so excited about that. I can't wait. I mean, it's going to be so cool. I'm not going to be there, but I'm sure there's... I think there might be a live stream that I want to check out, or at least I'm going to try to pull that off in a way. I'm like super hot, guys, by the way. It's 100 degrees out here in Colorado Springs today. I was not prepared for that, and now these lights are on in this apartment with no AC. 100 degrees outside, probably way more in here. Let me actually just check the temperature real fast. I'm going to brag about it because you guys are probably LAers and going to make fun of me. It is 87. I live on the sun. Oh, I live on the sun. All right. But yeah, make sure you guys follow Ram Showcase on all your favorite social media. That would be at Ram Showcase on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.com/Ram Showcase. You can follow myself as well at Sheriff Joe Bags on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.com/Sheriff Joe Bags. It is that simple. Make sure you guys like and subscribe to the video as well. Drop your comments of your favorite number. Well, let's see. Your favorite number 12 in Rams history. Drop that comment below. That'll be good stuff, guys. But that is going to do it for me. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Rams Showcase on Sports War Radio. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you guys so much for listening, and you guys have a great night.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.